Well, good afternoon and welcome to our Good Friday service. If you brought Bible with you, get out your Bibles and turn to John's Gospel chapter 19. John chapter 19 for our text this morning as we gather for the Good Friday service. And let's begin with prayer. Lord, we are thankful to be able to come into this place and Lord, to spend some time in the middle of the day, Lord, just appreciating and remembering what you've done for us and the love you've demonstrated to us. Lord, your life wasn't taken from you. You gave it up. And Lord, you gave it up out of love for us. And so, Lord, I pray today that as we, Lord, come together to worship you and spend this time, Lord, that you would stir our hearts, Lord, that you would move past just touching our thoughts and intellect, but Lord, that you would reach into our inner person and Lord, touch us, Lord, in the place of our emotions and ignite and continue to fan the flame and the passion and the love for you, Lord, as we spend this time. And we'll give you the thanks for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 17 of chapter 19, we read, "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Jesus and two others with him, one on either side, Jesus in the center. Now, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.' And then many of the Jews read this title from the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Don't write the King of the Jews, but write, He said, I am King of the Jews.' And Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' And then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, made four parts to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. Therefore they said among themselves, 'Let us not tear it, but let us cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, They divided my garments among them, and my clothing, for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he said to his disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." The title of my message is At the Cross. What a change. You see, when we studied last Sunday, the crowds were, it's Palm Sunday, they were crying out, "Hosanna, save now." They were crying out, "Blessed is he who comes, the King of Israel." And it was a procession where people were rejoicing and celebrating and acknowledging Jesus as Savior, acknowledging Jesus as God Himself, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Pharisees, so bothered by this, they said, "Hey, tell them to stop that." And Jesus said, "If they stop, the rocks would cry out." You'd have a rock concert, if you would. First one ever. But the people didn't stop singing, so there was no rock that day. But here's the deal. We come on the scene here just a few days later, and what's going on? Obviously, many in that crowd caught up in the crowd mentality. Caught up in what's popular and hip, you see. Because now many in that same crowd are calling for him to be crucified. Those who stood with him, even those closest to him previously, his disciples, many of them turned tail and ran. When Jesus was placed on that cross, you see, there were a few that we read here in our text that I want to focus on, that came back, that drew near to the cross. And I want to take a look at them and who these people are, that we might see who was at the cross here, that we might consider how near the cross we are and the impact of the cross on our lives. Because a lot of times we sing the songs, "Lead Me to the Cross." We sing songs about the cross. But if someone was to take our hand, let's say we were back there in that day with Jesus just so beaten and bloodied, hanging there on that cross hanging there with the criminals on either side, how close would you have come to the cross? If somebody was to take you by the hand, "Oh, no, this is close enough. It's an ugly scene. Man, you know what? If they know that I'm one of his disciples, if they know that I'm believing in him, let's get a little, I kind of want to see what's going on, but I don't want to get too close. It could be hazardous to me." You see, as we look at the scene here, we see at this cross, four Roman soldiers. Now they were there out of duty. They didn't want to be there. It was another day at the job. They were there because they had to be. Hey, how many of you are here right now even because somebody dragged you? "I'm here. Okay, I'm out of duty. You know, mom wants me to come, or my wife wants me to come, or my boss asked me to come. So I'm here, getting a little religious for Easter, you know. I'd rather not be here, but they promised me dinner or lunch after for free, so I'm here." Well, don't misunderstand. We're glad you're here. But our desire is that you move past you coming here being simply duty. We see here at the cross, and guys, this doesn't speak well for us, four women and one man. Where were those 12? There were 12 disciples, weren't they? Okay, so Judas fled. So he's out. So that brings us down to 11. Where were the other 10 guys? Doesn't speak well for us, guys. The girls were here. The guys weren't. Here at the cross, we look and we see one of the ladies is Mary Magdalene. A woman, Luke's gospel tells us, from whom Jesus cast out 7 demons. She was here. She wanted to be close. You see, she was in the place for her, this cross, a drawing near. Salvation, a redemption was what she had experienced by way of relationship with Jesus. She had been in bondage to Satan for a long time. These 7 demons led her life. She was enslaved and she did some bad stuff. Satan was at work in her life to destroy her and cause havoc emotionally and physically and spiritually. She was in a hopeless and helpless situation. And then Jesus came along into her life. And he changed her life radically. He freed her from the bondage. He gave her the power and the victory over areas that she was enslaved to and captive to and addicted to previously. She was miraculously, by the power of God, changed. You see, when we talk about deliverance and the kind of change that Christ can make in your life, that's where Mary was living. She had been one of whom Acts 26 verse 18 says, Jesus came to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God so that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. You see, when a person trusts in Jesus Christ as Lord, when they give their life to Him and open their heart to Him, He brings deliverance from the bondage of sin. He can break the chains of addiction. And radical changes take place in people's lives as a result. They go from darkness mentally, morally, and spiritually to light. They go from the power of Satan and just the slavery of sin. The guilt is removed from them. The burden of trying to be good, trying to clean up their life, trying to get their act together. And they just, they're going to do it tomorrow, but they never can manage to get it together. You see, that's not the case with Mary. She went from being poor spiritually to being wealthy spiritually. And her life was changed, you see. And because Jesus had redeemed her and brought her out of that miserable condition, as she stood at the cross, she began to understand the cost to do so as Jesus was hanging there. Mary saw the cross that was being paid. You see, Jesus had to die, precious saints. He had to die that we might live. Yes, salvation is offered freely to us, but it wasn't free. It was paid for with a price. For us who are believers, Jesus has paid that price and delivered us from the power of Satan, from the guilt, you see. No wonder Mary Magdalene was there, standing at the cross. She would be there at his burial. She would also be the first one to show up and discover that he had risen again. She wouldn't leave him. Another woman here, Salome. For her, the cross was a place of a rebuke, if you would, a place of exhortation and correction. Who was Salome? Well, most commentators identify her as his mother's sister, Mary's sister. The wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John. Now you remember the mother of James and John put her sons up to a task that she was willing to do. James and John told mom to go to Jesus and ask for thrones when Jesus sets up his kingdom. One could sit on the right and one could sit on the left. Mom wanted to make sure her boys were taken care of. My kids are the coolest kids, James, John. I just want to know if they could have those positions and those titles. Well, that's kind of a mom type of a thing. But as she stood there, recognizing suddenly the words that Jesus spoke to her, you don't know what you're asking. Are they going to be able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink of? Are they going to be willing to pay the price? You see, you want them on the thrones and you want them in the places of honor and position. But let me ask you a question. Do they deserve those thrones? Thrones are not given away, they're earned. Salome had forgotten the true cost of the reward. She didn't recognize, you see, the suffering that comes before the reward. Without the cross, there is no crown. You're not going to be able to drink the cup of glory without drinking the cup of suffering, you see. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself did not return to the throne of heaven except by way of the cross. At one point he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something to follow Jesus. And listen, sin costs you something. And it's destroying your life. You come to Jesus, and guess what? Yeah, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost your life. But you will have life like you've never had it before. Your life will have meaning. The suffering will have meaning. You'll never be alone in the difficulties that we face in life as a result of being here on planet Earth and the fallen condition of men. I wonder if we, standing there, as we today consider the cross and what was done there for us, if we don't maybe stand in the place of Salome as we draw near. Are you, Christian, willing to drink the cup? Oh, no, Lord, we just want the answer to our prayers. Take care of our money, keep us happy and healthy, and maybe a little holy, not too holy. Let's not get fanatical, Lord. We want to go crazy on this Christian thing. Bring the blessings, but no troubles or suffering, right? Isn't that what Jesus does? Well, not according to my Bible. Those that would say, you come to Christ and you'll be healthy and wealthy and no more problems. And man, it'll be easy street until you get to eternity and then it's going to be even better, are wrong. The Bible never promises that. For those that are going to follow Jesus and think they can do it like that, this cross becomes a place of rebuke. As we look at what Jesus did for us, what He endured for us, what He suffered for us, it's not about us, you see, living for ourselves here. It's about us responding to His love, you see, and living for His glory. The third person here is Mary, the mother of Jesus. The place here is a place of reward. How's that? Well, when Jesus looked down and saw His mother, His father, dead by now, most believe. And so here's His mom all by herself, you know, the brothers and whatever sisters Jesus had by way of Mary conceiving children after were all gone and they had scattered, probably some of them with the other disciples. And so there was one standing there with His mother and Jesus seeing her. It's says that he the disciple whom He loved, and John, that's all He refers to Himself. He never says, I, John, was standing there. No, He says, I, the disciple that Jesus loved, was there. And He said to His mother, woman, behold your son. Then He said to His disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus rewards His mother here. Why does He reward His mother? What was the cost for Mary? Well, think of what suffering she endured. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 2, we read her going into the temple and Simeon there bringing Jesus in along with Joseph along with her. And they meet the priest there who was promised that he would not die until he saw Messiah. And Simeon blessed the baby. And then he said to Mary and his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and his sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Mary, this is Messiah. But He's not going to have an easy life. He is going to suffer. He's going to die. He's going to suffer for many. He's going to take what many deserve for their sin. You see, what people deserve for their sin. He is going to pay the price. And when He is paying that price, as you look at what's going on, a sword is going to pierce your side. It's going to break your heart. How she suffered as a mom. She suffered physically. When she brought the Savior into the world, didn't she? The rumors were being passed. Oh, she says virgin born, but we know Joseph. And there's all kinds of questions about her reputation. She suffered there. She suffered that shame, that reproach, that gossip. She suffered when she had to leave and head to Egypt to save her child when countless children were being killed because of a jealous King Herod who wanted to, Governor Herod, who wanted to get rid of any threat to his throne. So had all the male babies there in that particular city killed. And how she must have suffered as she fled and then realized why this was all going on. How do you think she felt about that? And then the emotional suffering is the growing separation between her and Jesus was happening when he was one day in the temple ministering to the people. And of course, they forgot him and lost him. And then they came back. Hey, where you been? Hey, listen, I want you to understand, Mom, love you and all, but I must be about my Father's business. And she realized increasingly that this son was in fact God Himself, you see. She no doubt felt the climax of Simeon's prophecy there about the suffering when she was standing at the cross with her precious baby. Who had now become a man, was hanging there, bleeding, experiencing the shame, numbered with criminals and transgressors. He died openly and publicly and shamefully. Mary stood feeling the pain of the sword go through her soul. Jesus, seeing her, moved with compassion, assured her of His love, establishing a new relationship with her. Knowing that he was about to be buried, and of course, knowing that he was going to rise again the third day and go back and return to heaven from where he came. Recognizing that the relationship between him and her was changing, and in order to provide peace and care for her, comfort for her broken heart, he says, John, take good care of my mom, would you? And John at that moment responded. It says, from that very hour, John took her into his own house. Ultimately, God rewards those who suffer or have suffered for His sake. Jesus knows the difficulties and the suffering that you face, the trials and the needs that you have. The Scriptures teach, listen, if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. Then the final person we see here at the cross is John, the beloved disciple. What do we see him? Well, we see in him a place of a responsibility, a place of action, you see. Mary Magdalene, we see salvation. Salome, it's an exhortation. Mary, it's a revelation as she's rewarded and compassionately cared for. But John, we see a man who is recognizing, hey, I got to take some action as a result of being close to the cross. You see, he recognized he had a responsibility. John here stood at the cross, restored. Again, he along with the other disciples had forsaken Jesus and fled for their lives in the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers took him. But here, to John's credit, guess what? When the cross is there, he came to himself, he recognized, what am I doing here? And he went back, and there he is at the foot of the cross. The lone disciple. You know what that tells me and you? As Christians, we may stray. We may even deny our Lord at some points. But listen, don't let that keep you away. You can always come back to the cross. and God will use you like he's doing with John. John came back to the cross. He was restored. He was forgiven. The cross is the place where we go for forgiveness. It's where we go for the power and deliverance and restoration. Yes, this wasn't the safest place for John to stand, nor was it the easiest place, because now he was tying himself, being identified with Jesus there. It would take courage and it would take love for John to come back to that place. But you know what? It's what he's the one, isn't he, that wrote some years later, as he gave us one of his letters in 1 John 1:9, where he said, and he knew, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we celebrate today. That's what we celebrate. All believers are in that place of responsibility here on earth to take that message out, to show that message. John records the words of Jesus in John 20 after he's resurrected. In verse 21, Jesus says, "As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." We as Christians represent Jesus to a watching world. To acknowledge the cross is to acknowledge a place of responsibility. If you and I are saved, if we have come to the cross of Calvary, then we have a responsibility to love the Lord Jesus, because he has shown us his love, and to reach out to others with that same love in the same way John reached out to Jesus' mom. That wasn't his mom, it was Jesus' mom. But because that's what Jesus told him to do, he took action. He didn't just make an excuse, he made a decision. He said yes. You see, that's what we're called to do as believers. At the cross is where Jesus wants us to be. It's a place of redemption. It's a place of salvation. Listen, today if you've come and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he died on that cross for you. Yeah, but I've done some bad things. You know what? He died on that cross for you. Yeah, but I don't know if I could ever buy into it. I've tried, you know, to change myself and to clean up my act, and I just don't seem to be able to do it. I'm kind of a weak person. I'm kind of struggling right now, and I wish it was true that I could be changed. It is true. It is true. To as many as received him as Lord and Savior, to as many as put their faith in him, to them he gave the power that you don't possess on your own, to become the sons and the daughters of God. Your sins, your guilt, that condemnation, that burden trying to be good and failing can be lifted. But you can't lift it. Your family can't lift it. The government can't lift it. The programs can't lift it. You know what? It's only the person of Jesus Christ that can lift that burden off of you. You need to come to him today. Like Mary Magdalene. Seven demons caught up in all kinds of wicked, perverse, and evil practices, who was set free. That's the good news. You can be set free today. It's a place of rebuke. All of our pride and selfishness fades away as we stand at the cross and see Jesus suffering for us. Christian, stop your complaining and whining. Jesus has paid it all. Stop your "why me? I always have to..." Get rid of the Eeyore attitude, man. Let the Lord change that. Stop pursuing your own selfish course and say, "Jesus, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live?" And remember this, the cross is a place of reward. Jesus knows our struggles, and He'll reward our faithfulness. Don't you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? It's a place of responsibility then. You must move into action. We come to the cross through faith. We can't hide ourselves. We're left here on planet Earth once we respond to Christ to go out into the world and to preach the gospel. Jesus reached out to the hurting, to the lonely, to the struggling. We must do the same. We must do the same. So as we've come today, we've come for the purpose of commemoration, remembering what Jesus did for us at the cross, as He hung on that cross. Jesus says, as often as you come and you drink of this cup and you eat of this bread, you do it in remembrance of Me. We go back. It takes us back. Remember? Remember what He did for you on the cross? Remember when you first realized what He did for you on the cross? Remember when you first gave your life to Jesus Christ? Think about that. I don't want to just touch your heads with this. I want this to get into your heart. What was it like when you first prayed the prayer and you said, "Jesus, I don't know if you can," some of you maybe even said, "I don't know if you can change me. I don't know if you can do anything. But you know what? I'm willing to just give you my life, Lord. I'll give you this messed up life." And you know what? And Jesus came into your heart and changed your life. Do you remember what that felt like? Forget that. That's what David said. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit, a right heart within me. Sometimes we take for granted what Jesus did. So we gather in commemoration. We gather also for examination. Maybe there's stuff that isn't right in your life today. Maybe when we've talked about selfishness and Salome and needing a little correction, things are out of priority. You've been closer to the Lord than you are presently. Things aren't going well. You've drifted. There's a separation that didn't used to be. And you're making excuses. You need to stop making excuses and make a change. Christian, you need to move into action. Because we will give an answer when we stand before God. We will be rewarded. It's not whether we're Christians or not. We're Christians, we believed in Jesus Christ. It's whether we were faithful to be obedient to the call and the commitment of Christ. If God has spoken to you and things aren't where they should be and could be, I'm not saying none of us are where we want to be. Hopefully, we're all growing and, like Paul, pressing towards that mark of the high calling in Christ. But my concern is, as for the complacent apathy and kind of, well, you're just here, some of you, honestly, out of duty, and it didn't used to be that way, but it is today as you come, and God is saying, stop it. Come back. Let me have your heart. Let me break your heart for the lost around you. Let me break your heart for the ignoring of what I've done on the cross for you and kind of just living your own life and doing your own thing. You need to come back to Him. Examination. That's what this table's for. Jesus knew we would need it. Paul exhorts us to do it. What needs to change? Now's the time to take stock and respond to the correction. And it's a time of celebration. The same Jesus that died on that cross rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and guess what? The promise is one day He's coming back for all of His children. and going to take us home with him. And he says, and you know what? As often as you do this, you preach it until he comes. That's what we're doing right now. We're preaching it. We're preaching it. This practice is preaching. You know, a non-believer, maybe you're here. You're going, what are they doing, man? Like, what is this stuff they're doing? What is those trays for? What's going to happen here? We're going to remember the cross. That's the gospel. Jesus died in your place. He took what you and I deserved on that cross. You don't have to walk around carrying a bunch of guilt. He rose again on the third day and is seated at the right hand of the Father to plead my case, because I need a good attorney, because I'm not that good, you see. So I need a really good attorney. And when Satan comes in and says to God the Father, hey, that dentist guy of yours, that preacher guy, you know what? He just cut somebody off on the freeway. He was that? Had a really bad attitude today towards his wife. You know what? He's an idiot. He blew it. That's not right. And the Father goes, you're right. That's not right. And he looks at Jesus and Jesus says, he's mine. Okay, case dismissed. Next. That's worth celebrating to me. And so today, as we gather here to remember what Jesus did on the cross, may God, by His Spirit, just allow us to just still our hearts for a few minutes here as we pass out the elements and just do what Jesus instituted on that day with His disciples, still here as His disciples, just obeying the Lord and just remembering, because He knows our tendency to forget stuff. He's called us to do this so that we never forget the love that was displayed on that cross and the life available because of it. Now, maybe you've come today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord. Maybe you're here out of duty. Don't drink of these elements dutifully. Why is that? Well, because the Bible says that if you do that, if you just drink them, not discerning the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, in other words, not acknowledging what it is that He came to do and appropriating that in your own life, you drink condemnation to yourself. What's that mean? That means that when you stand before God on judgment day, if you're just playing with this stuff, guess what, man? You can't say, well, I never heard. Nobody ever told me that Jesus died on the cross and that He died for my sins and that His blood was shed for me that I might be cleansed. Nobody told you. And then He'll say, roll him, Gabriel. Good Friday, 2014, Calvary Chapel of the High Desert. You'll hear the message of the cross that you've just heard. You'll recognize the elements speak of His body that was broken for us, His blood that was shed for us, and the offer to put your faith and your trust in Him that you might drink in a worthy manner. It's not because any of us are together that we are worthy. It's because we put our faith in the One who is together, and that's Jesus Christ, that we are worthy. So today, I don't want you to drink of these elements in an unworthy manner, because you can't ever say that you never heard it again. You'll even see the Lord will roll the clip of you drinking the cup and what was that? Oh yeah, He did tell us that was the body and the blood. So dude, why didn't you give your life to me? Well, you know, I just, yeah, well, you're guilty, buddy. And hell is something the Bible says you earn. Heaven is a gift of God's grace. Come and respond to the grace of God today if you've not yet given your life to Him, and call on His name. Let's pray.